I would like to begin this retreat of the Mission of the Immaculate Mediatrix by reflecting upon the first reading that we heard today, taken from the book of the prophet Haggai. Haggai was a prophet raised during the time of the exile of the Israelites, thus in Old Testament times. The Israelites were placed into exile, a remnant to be more correct. A remnant of Israelites was placed in exile, taken into exile because of their infidelity, because of their unfaithfulness to the Lord. The Lord entered into a covenant with his chosen people. Moses was the one, the mediator of this covenant, whereby God demonstrated, he revealed his love in a certain way, not in the fullness that he was to reveal it in his only begotten Son, but he revealed his love, and he put a certain seal on this, you might say, through the establishment of this covenant. However, there was something that the Israelites had to do. They had to be faithful, keep their end of the bargain, as it were. They didn't do so, and God sent them into exile. God could well have destroyed them for their unfaithfulness. He could have wiped out every last one of them. Indeed, after a certain remnant was sent into exile, a certain prophet, Ezekiel, had a vision. He saw a certain man dressed in linen, with a tablet, with something to write with. He was to go around marking the foreheads of those left in Jerusalem after the first exile, before the destruction of Jerusalem. He was to mark an X on the foreheads of those left in Jerusalem who wept and lamented over the abominations, the fruit of the unfaithfulness of the Israelites. The result is that no one but the prophet was found. The prophet himself was already in exile. So God is not obliged to save anyone. If he does so, it is not because of the goodness of man, but because of the goodness of God. He saved a remnant of the Israelites out of his goodness. Why? Because he had a greater plan, and the Savior of the world was to come through that line. It's God's goodness that he preserves any of us, for we all have been unfaithful to a greater or lesser degree. So this prophet Haggai was raised up by God during the time of exile, and what is it that he was commanded by God to do? He was to tell the Israelites, time to go back. Your time of exile is over, now you are to go back, and you are to rebuild the temple. So they went back to rebuild the temple, and then what happened? They rebuilt this temple, but it wasn't quite the temple of Solomon, this, that they had built. They had been despoiled of practically everything, and they had to use what was at their disposal to construct something that was but a mere shadow of what was before. And so they were downcast. But the Lord says, take courage. Mine is the silver and mine is the gold, the glory of this house in the future shall be greater than the former glory. I will give you peace, because all this comes from the Lord of hosts. So the Lord chose this remnant to return to build something that in their eyes didn't seem to measure up. And the Lord said, I am the one who ensures the glory of this house. Do not measure by human estimation, but put your trust in me. Thus the exhortation to faithfulness you see continued. The people were to do something that their forebears had failed to do. Be faithful. If they remain faithful, then they can enter into this glory, which, however, comes from the Lord because of his goodness and his alone. Now, each one of us here has been chosen by our Lord. The Lord wishes to build a house in our hearts, you might say. We have been chosen not because we are good, but because the Lord is good. Why did Our Lady choose Bloomington to build a chapel here, to establish a group of missionaries dedicated entirely to her? Why did Our Lady choose the Porciuncola, that little church where St. Francis understood the fullness of his vocation? How is it that she chose that? We're not quite sure. What we are sure is that St. Francis recognized that Our Lady chose that place. She favored that place, this little portion. Not that the Porciuncola was, not that it stood out so much from any other small chapel that existed at that time in Italy, although it, and in fact it had been a bit abandoned, this church. It was one of those churches that St. Francis was rebuilding. And he came there and he recognized that this is a place favored by Our Lady, and he did what? I had better stay here. So he stayed, and then what happened is that he realized that the command that he had received a bit earlier from our Lord himself to rebuild his house, that command given in the church of San Damiano, was not simply a command to edify structures like the one that we are in, but to go about the repair through the founding of the Friars Minor. He let her build that house in him. He let himself be the instrument whereby our Lord will build a house and let his glory come to its fullness, to be revealed in its fullness. He recognized that. What is the merit of St. Francis? Is that not only he recognized it, but he did it. He responded. Just as these Israelites in the land of exile responded, they could have thought to themselves, this is an impossible project. How are we to rebuild this temple in any way, shape, or form like the glorious temple of Solomon? They were discouraged. If you read scripture, they were discouraged by all their neighbors. There were those that tried to tear down the walls of the cities that they were trying to rebuild. They had everything going against them, but they had the promise of our Lord because he keeps his word. So we don't know why Our Lady chooses places like Bloomington, nor can we say for sure why it is that she has chosen each one of us. The fact is, she has. Not something to dissect, but something to accept. She's chosen me by a simple act of love, of predilection. Am I worthy? Are any of us worthy? No. But she chose us because she's good. And the first question we would say, shall we be grateful for the choice? Shall we recognize, acknowledge this one who shares fully in the goodness of God? Once we decide to answer yes to that question, and I hope the answer is yes, should I ask each one? I guess you know what my answer is, right? All right. What do we do about it? Do we go and do what we can? Maybe it is that Our Lady doesn't ask us to do very grandiose things in our eyes, in human eyes. Maybe she wants us to act in a very hidden way. Maybe she wants us to act with inadequate resources. Maybe she wants us to be in her instruments despite the fact that we have about 10 different things wrong with our bodies, understand? Or that our families seem to be falling apart. Or that nobody else, whoever we associate with, understands what it is that we're really doing. She chose this place and she chose us. And what is the first responsibility? To be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Let her mold our hearts. And then do whatever he tells us to do. Just as Saint Francis of Assisi did. All the saints act in the same way. They're men and women, but what do? When they realize that they have received an authentic inspiration from our Lord, they act on it immediately and with utmost generosity. It doesn't matter to them whether they see any result or not, or whether the result they see in men's eyes doesn't seem to measure up against, let's say, the seven wonders of the world. Because that's not what's important. What is important is they cooperate so that the glory of the Lord will be revealed in all its fullness. In order for that to happen, he doesn't need us, but he wants us. And he wants to do this through Our Lady. He wants us to belong entirely to Our Lady. And what a wonderful time we live in. Because it's in this time that Our Lady wants to do things in this world that she has not done up to now. Understand? We will be talking about this in the midst of the retreat. How is this that she wants to do things? Because she has revealed herself fully. She has been acknowledged fully as the Immaculate Conception, thus the perfection of God not only shines forth, but is publicly acknowledged. But it's not enough to acknowledge this. It has to be incorporated. And that's what you and I have been put here for. We do this, we fulfill our purpose for which we have been put on this earth. But if we turn back, what will be left? What about those poor residents of Jerusalem that failed to cooperate, those last ones, just before the exile, just before the destruction of Jerusalem? They were swept away, thinking that if they could just hold on in the midst of the siege to that little bit of bread, they could proclaim, "The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord," until it got destroyed also. What hope is there left? Our hope is in God who made heaven and earth. Our hope is in the Mother of God, who brought hope itself into this world. Now, it may be true that you and I live in, let's say, most interesting times, very difficult times. But if she brought us into these most difficult times, Our Lady intends for us to share in her fullness of grace in a way that others have not. She'll give us what she needs. Now, I'll tell you a little something personal. Before I made my consecration to Our Lady, if they had mentioned to me about becoming a priest, much less all the nice things that Father Elias was telling you about earlier, I would have found as secure a hiding place as possible. But when it comes to donating ourselves to Our Lady, it is not possible to trust her too much. It is not possible. And I'm here to tell you that when you do, and I can't tell you this, when you put your trust like so, she will never disappoint. The temple in human eyes may be something not spectacular. Our Lady might choose to destroy some of what we think are the most important of her works. Suppose that she decides to do that. Or she preserves it, or she makes it grow. What she wants. Because in the end, the work of our soul, that will be preserved. If we're faithful to her. And what more could we ask for? If the whole world falls apart, but we have a clear conscience before our Lord, if we can say at the end of our lives, despite the fact that we've committed every sin in the book, maybe up until now, as long as we're faithful from here on out, but I was faithful to you, Our Lady, would any of us have any regrets? I won't if I'm able to do that, and I pray for the grace. We're here because we realize that we have been given a grace. We want to lay claim fully to that grace so that we will have no regrets. And not only ourselves, my friends, but many other souls whom we will take with us if we permit. And no greater catch will there be except by those who are true sons and daughters of Our Lady. Praise be Jesus and Mary.